Famous for their iconic Humboldt fog, inspired by the misty Humboldt County coastline, Cypress Grove has been a cornerstone of American cheese for over 40 years. Their range of fresh, soft-ripened, and aged goat cheeses promises an unforgettable experience. Proudly crafted in Arcata, California, where the redwoods meet the Pacific Ocean, Cypress Grove cheeses are available nationwide at specialty retailers. Discover their cheeses, serving tips, and even order online at cypressgrovecheese.com. Perfect for any occasion or as a gift. There's nothing like that Humboldt fog feeling.
Show me the science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to my Show Me the Science podcast. And this week, I've got a really interesting one, it must be said, for the times that we're living in, or the time of year. The Olympics is upon us. And it turns out there's loads of science about the Olympics, you wouldn't believe it. And this is obvious in a way, because over the past 100 years, there's been remarkable advances, both in terms of training and psychology and all kinds of things for athletes and how to get them to run faster or jump higher or whatever it is athletes do. Secondly, there's been big advances in technology like tennis rackets and golf clubs and all kinds of things, the different sort of equipment that sports people use, advances there. There's been big advances in how they time everything. The timing's got much more accurate, obviously. And these advances are quite remarkable in a way. So I'll give you one example. In 1924, we all saw Chariots of Fire, didn't we, that movie with Harold Abrams? At least I did, one of the great Olympics movies. And he ran that race in 10.8 seconds. He won the gold medal on that. Now, at the last Olympics, it was 9.8. So a whole second was shaved off in 100 years. Now, you might think it took 100 years to shave a second off 100 metres. But still, that's a big change, 10% faster, basically. And what happened in that 100 years is, we think training got better, psychology got better. There may be some genetics in it, mind you. Maybe over time, people who have got the right variants in genes are doing more running, and therefore they're slightly faster, possibly. But a lot of complexity is to explain that 1 second difference in the 100 metres anyway, and it's an interesting kind of scientific question to ask, isn't it? But the one I want to talk about specifically is swimming. And the reason for this is, now I know people listen outside Ireland, which is a real thrill. I was in Germany 2 weeks ago, and two people at the conference said to me, "We're listening to your podcast," and they're in Germany. Now they are scientists, they're immunologists like me, so I suppose they are my friends, but even still. So for anybody not in Ireland, we've won medals in the Olympics, the Irish. It's always a great thrill when the Irish win medals. We're a very small country, unlike Germany. And we got a gold medal. Daniel Whiffen, the 800 metres freestyle, won gold. And Mona McSharry got bronze in the 100 metres breaststroke. And we're beside ourselves with excitement here in Ireland that we've won these medals, given what a small country we are. And of course, it's refreshing that we're not just winning them and boxing people's heads off, which is where we normally win medals. And thankfully, there were no drugs involved. We won't go into that, the science of that's another topic entirely. But we're very happy with our two medal winners. And that got me reading about this and the technology of swimwear. Now, this sounds like not a very promising topic, but it turns out there's been huge advances in swimwear for these swimmers that are swimming in the Olympics. Now, we must give huge credit to anybody who wins medals in the Olympics. But I think especially swimming, it strikes me, because anyone who was a child who does swimming, it's up at the crack of dawn for day after day after day, hours and hours and hours in the swimming pool. You know, it takes an awful lot of perseverance and commitment and drive, I suppose. But it's, I can't imagine swimming for hours and hours every day. And yet that's what swimmers have to do to win those medals. Daniel and Mona dedicated their lives to swimming, and it's wonderful now for Ireland that they've won these medals. And that's one aspect of this, of course, and that's the training part. But the swimsuit part is the bit I want to talk about. Now, 100 years ago in Paris, and I just mentioned Harold Abrams, the swimwear was made of wool. Now, get that for a minute. Now, it was very finely spun wool, but it was wool. The swimsuits were woolen. Now, can you imagine? You jump in and that immediately soaks up the water and it makes it more difficult. And of course, the whole sort of challenge here is swimming through water, because remember, water is quite a dense material. It's 700 times denser than the air, and it's 55 times more viscous than air. So when you swim through water, there's an awful lot of resistance there. And therefore, if you're wearing the right kind of swimsuit, that will decrease the drag that your going through as you try to swim through the water. And of course, drag is one of the very important things that limit your capacity to swim through water. The second one is thrust. That's obvious as well. That's the muscles you're using to push yourself through the water. And that's another thing that determines how fast you're going to go. And there's one last one, and that is, it's called pressure. Now, the pressure aspect of swimming is a wave builds up in front of you. And that kind of puts a bit of pressure on you. And therefore, that's the other thing that you're trying to contend with. Now again, scientists have measured all this. And they've been measuring the different forces as you move through the water. And the swimwear people then were designing swimwear to be better at dealing with these conditions. And 100 years ago, as I say, wool was probably the worst material. Nowadays, the swimwear that Daniel and indeed Mona would have been wearing is called, they're called tensoelastic fibres, and they're very high tech, which I will come on to in a moment. And remember, anything that gives you an edge in the pool could be really important. And we're talking like blink of an eye time differences in some of these swimming events. And Mona was 0.01 of a second ahead of the person who came fourth. So if she'd been slower by 0.01 of a second, that's a hundredth of a second, she wouldn't have won the bronze, you know. And so the swimwear is an important part. Now, they're all wearing the same swimwear, I suppose. So it was her commitment and her efforts that allowed her to win this. But if you're wearing the wrong kind of swimwear, it might cost you 0.1 of a second and then you won't win the medals. So it's very important to be wearing the best possible swimwear you can. And as I say, it's all about the three forces that are there. We have the pressure force, we have the thrust and the drag. The friction is there, of course, that's part of this too. There's friction operating in the water as well. And the suit, the swimsuit, must be sleek and streamlined are the two key criteria. They've also shown that anything dangling off a swimsuit, like even, you know, a bit of thread or something, that can hinder you slightly as well, because it creates sort of resistance too. So the design of the swimsuit is all important for the sleekness and streamlined nature of the suit. Now, as I say, the early suits were made of wool. That was like a sheep jumping in the water and trying to swim. Not quite, but kind of. So wool was quickly abandoned, and of course the wool would sag, it would take on water. And in 1912, before the 1924 Olympics, silk begins to be used. Not everybody used silk, mind you, but silk begins to be used as a material. Much sleeker, of course. The trouble with silk is that when it gets wet, it becomes see-through. And even in 1924, people didn't want to be seen through their silk swimsuits, so they had to wear underwear under the silk. And of course, that was extra weight. And that wasn't great either for speed and efficiency. So silk didn't last very long. And then we get to the mid-20th century and nylon gets invented by DuPont. And that was a brand new material invented by DuPont. And by the way, nylon, do you know what it stands for? New York and London. NY, New York, LON, London. Because it was invented by scientists working in New York and London. That's a bit of trivia for you where the word nylon came from. Brand new material, carbon-based, much sleeker. And then swimsuits are then made out of nylon for a while. And then we get to the 1980s and then that famous material, Lycra, gets invented. And of course, Lycra is now one of the standard materials used to create any kind of sportswear, really, Lycra. And of course, middle-aged men in Lycra are mammals. And they're on bikes and they're cycling. That's where the word mammal comes from, middle-aged man in Lycra. So Lycra became the new material, if you will. And then just before the 2008 Olympics in Beijing, another material comes along. And it is a combination of nylon, Lycra, and something called polyurethane. Now, polyurethane is another carbon-based material, and that was added into the mix. So when we get to 2008... the swimsuits are made from nylon, Lycra and polyurethane. Now, there was a problem immediately when people began wearing those swimsuits. And this was spotted by the Olympic Federation. The polyurethane gives you some buoyancy. So you're wearing kind of a semi-life jacket. And that gave a great advantage. You're kind of, you know, floating a bit through the water. And this material could decrease drag by 8%, which is quite substantial. And you're kind of floating, not floating, but there's a bit of buoyancy in the polyurethane. And when this was launched by Speedos, of course, the famous swimsuit manufacturer, in 2009, 43 world records were broken because of this new swimsuit. And they said, hang on a minute, they're beating these records because they're wearing buoyant swimsuits. And guess what? They banned them. And they were banned. And now they're no longer available, and they got rid of the polyurethane part. I think there's some polyurethane still in them, but it's not as buoyant. So they measured the buoyancy of the swimsuit. Who would have thought it, you know? And then if we fast forward to today, 2024, we have the L2R Intent 2.0 and the L2R Valor 2.0. They're the names of swimsuits. That's how nerdy it gets. And again, they're made by Speedo. Various companies make these. And these have the same materials as before that I just mentioned, but they haven't got the buoyancy. And a new material has been added to coat them. And the swimsuit is now coated in a special material, again, carbon-based, very sleek. And guess where this came from? Now, they tested this, of course, and even less drag, if this stuff is coating your swimsuit. It was a material that was invented by NASA. And as anybody who knows about NASA will know, they're always talking about spin-outs from the space race and all that, and Teflon was one of them. But a new material came out of that. It's the coating on satellites. So the stuff you paint on satellites to stop satellites dragging through space, that very same material is painted on a swimsuit. So these are really high-tech space-age swimsuits. And it looks like as if they've managed to invent the right material to make optimum swimsuits from. Who knows where this might go next? Now, the big question is, how much does that part, does that play in someone winning a medal? They're all wearing the same swimsuits, so I suppose it evens out. But even still, we may see records being broken more and more compared to years ago because of these swimsuits. And what's also interesting is the newer ones have tensoelastic fibres in them, as I mentioned. And woven into the material are like rubber bands. If you can believe it, they're not quite rubber bands, but they're made of a similar material. This tightens the swimsuit around the muscles on your body. And that pressing on the muscle makes it even sleeker, apparently. I'm not quite sure how that works. It's called compression. But for some reason, you're squeezing yourself into this thing. You're like a little torpedo, I suppose, squeezed into it. And these are extremely sort of high-tech swimsuits. Now, I looked at the price, by the way. One of these swimsuits costs $450 just to buy. You get 10 wears out of it because eventually the tensoelastic fabric begins to stretch. You might get 10 races per suit, they reckon, from these. So you got to keep buying them. So it's not cheap, is it? If you want, if you're an Olympian, you don't need to buy these if you're a regular swimmer. But there's an example to me of, you know, the appliance of material sciences into something that's really interesting, isn't it? The way they can combine these materials to make a very sleek and wonderful streamlined swimsuit for these swimmers. And the last thing I'm going to tell you about that I came across is to do with psychology. Now, believe it or not, this has been studied. It turns that if you're donning one of these race suits, now it can take up to 30 minutes for a woman to get into one of them because they're very hard to get into. But if you're getting into them, you're aware of the technology, it psychs you up for the event. And they think that the donning of the race suit gives you this positive sort of feedback effect on your mentality, and now you're getting your game face on, is what they call this in sport. Maybe this is you're getting your swimsuit on, and now you're fully sort of ready for the event. And the power of positivity, of course, in sport is extremely important. And they reckon now the donning of these high-tech swimsuits gives you a positive sort of lift, and therefore you're more motivated. And maybe you can go that extra 0.01 of a second, for instance, by the donning of the high-tech swimsuit. You feel like you're ready for the event, I suppose, and you're ready to jump in the pool and win, as happened to Daniel Whiffen. Let's mention him again, who won gold for Ireland in the 800 metres. I bet Daniel didn't realise that he was doing it partly because of a high-tech swimsuit. Daniel, I read somewhere also, by the way, he always takes a 10-minute nap in the morning, and he's on his PlayStation for an hour before an event. That's part of his routine, and maybe they helped him psychologically along with the wearing of a very high-tech little tiny swimsuit. Of course, the men are wearing much smaller ones, but even still, if you know it's really high-tech, maybe it gives you that extra bit of oomph to allow you to jump in the pool and hopefully then help you win the race. So again, all fantastic achievement for Daniel and Mona to win those medals for Ireland. And there you have it, the science of Olympic swimwear. And thanks, as ever, for listening. And my podcast is a new stock production, available for download every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.